Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Like Anime. We are covering spring 2021, me being George, and...
You being Tony? No, shoot. Me, I'm Tony.
We rehearsed this, man. Pull it together.
Wait, you're Tony, and I'm George?
I mean, wait, no, I'm George, and I'm joined with and by...
You're not joined with me. I refuse to accept that.
Just doing it to tease you. But anyway, George and Tony, we're back to talk about some anime.
He's George, I'm Tony.
I'm here to get us back on track. That's what they pay me to do.
He's here to try.
How are you, man?
I'm all right. Same as a couple days ago.
Sweet.
About the same.
Cool.
Nearly identical, in fact.
No huge bumps, just coasting.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Excellent. Well, what do we got first to talk about here?
We should probably talk about My Hero Academia. And I know my schedule says that I'm supposed to introduce it, but it's probably better if you talk about it first because the notes that I have is four words long. Would you like to hear the four words?
That sounds like a threat.
Or should I save it for later? It's not a four-letter word. It's just four words.
A four-letter word.
Some of the words have four letters in them. Actually, three of the four words have four letters in them.
I don't know what's happening, but this episode was mainly, I had to write down the names because we've been watching this show for like years now, but like I still can't get all these.
There's a lot.
Even class A names down.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Koroiro versus Tokoyami, which is Dark Shadow. And then Koroyo is this sort of new character, I think. And we might have seen him, but not seen him fight in the past. But yeah, he's a shadow guy.
He's a shadow guy. Yeah. Kuroiro. And black color or dark color, I guess.
Okay.
Kuroiro. Yeah.
Which is a cool quirk, you know, shadow quirk. He can, like, a Momo, like, it throws a net and, like, you know, captures him at one point, you know, and then in quotes, and he just sinks into the shadow, you know, of what he had grabbed onto.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Kind of moves along that shadow and gets out of it.
Yep. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty useful most of the time, unless, you know, it's really bright or something, I guess.
Yeah. It's an interesting, like, defining the limitations of that quirk. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems kind of tricky, but.
Yeah, like how far along the gradient can he go?
Yeah, because technically there's always a shadow somewhere, right?
I
mean,
I don't know. If you had like a completely white-walled room and you put a light bulb right in the middle of it, there would be essentially no shadow, although there might be some areas that are darker than others. Does that qualify as a shadow at that point?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like the distance he can travel from a shadow... Like how quickly and how far from where the light source is nearest to him. I don't know. Yeah. Speaking of bright light, Invisible Girl, whatever her name is, which I did not write down. She does like, cause she doesn't do much. But she did a thing where she like did like a flash of her, like a camera flash or something. I don't know. Yeah. She just did like a flash of light. She jumped up into this, you know, the air and just flashed some light. And, she's like, you know, she's naked.
She flashed him?
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like she's naked. I don't know. We're thinking too much, but she is naked, right? Cause they make that joke a couple episodes ago or something. Mm. And, she's just wearing gloves and, boots.
Yeah.
And I don't, have we ever seen her do something like do like a thing? You know, like a special move or be helpful.
I mean, I assume that they must have shown this before or something, but I don't remember.
Yeah. So but it was cool. I was like, all right, she's doing stuff.
Yeah. She's doing more than just being invisible.
But what did you think of this episode? Because that's mostly what it was. We ended with.
Oh, it's time for my four words now. Such fight. Much yawn. Bringing back the doge again. So
nice.
Yeah.
There was an aspect of before the fight started where each class was kind of reflecting on like how they did and their performance and what they could have done better. And they thought about it themselves and then they were given feedback, at least on Class A's side.
Yeah.
We saw a little bit of Class B, but I thought that was kind of cool because it did like delay the next fight from starting for quite a bit.
That's true. And then the teams for team two teams.
Yes.
They sort of sat down and started strategizing because they're like, oh, we need to strategize ahead of time instead of making it up on the fly like they did or something, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of inspired them to be like, well, we should have a plan, like, or right, maybe a better plan. I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't have Froppy, so, you know, we don't have someone that's going to, you know, plan on the fly like she does.
On the fly, because she's a frog.
I wasn't intending to make that joke, but it works, I guess.
Frogs eat flies.
She probably does, too, I guess.
Yeah,
probably. Have we seen her eat flies before? Maybe.
That I don't must remember. Have happened, but.
Yeah, I would think.
Anyway, and then I kind of agree with you. It was like, I liked that first part of when they were kind of reflecting on their fight and then getting ready for the next one. But so far this fight, you know, was on a cliffhanger. So it's like, okay. But it ends with, we're spoiling everything here, but this girl that has mushroom powers, she makes mushrooms grow everywhere. And I'm intrigued by that power. I don't know. Mushrooms are cool. And it seems kind of ridiculous. Like there's just mushrooms everywhere, but... Like, what more can happen?
They even grew on Invisible Girl, right?
That's true.
And they weren't invisible.
Yeah.
Weird.
Fungus is powerful.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're waiting to see what happens with that, meaning that we've got how many more episodes till this fight ends? Okay.
Yeah. That's one way to look at it. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, okay. I enjoyed the bit at the beginning with them sort of recapping the previous fight and Eraser sort of giving them some advice on what to do in the future. But then, the fight was just kind of like, all right, fine. It's what I expected them to do. And that's
what they're doing. Kind of annoying. I mean, I'm with you there, but I mean, I enjoyed the fight mostly, but there was like just, I don't know, the whole thing of like the shadow guy, Koroiro, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He like sets up a double bluff of like making Tokuyami think that there's a rivalry when there isn't, so he can like grab Naval Laser Dude. I don't know, there was some, you know, do you remember that scene?
Sort of, yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it was just so weird. I don't know, it seems like tacked on and like didn't make any sense of like, okay, I made you think that I was like, they were already fighting, so it's like, I don't know what more that had to do with it, but
I don't know. Well, because they're both shadow
related. So it's just the moment of surprise, I guess. But that's literally the game they're playing, is to get anyone they can. So
yeah.
Why would it be that much of a surprise that, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I think the idea was that he was saying, oh, I made you think that, you know, we're rivals because we're both shadow. Mm. You know, we both deal with the shadows or whatever. But
yeah.
I tricked you. I'm actually going after Naval Laser Guy.
Yeah.
Which I don't think really mattered as far as... what's the Dark Bird guy's called?
Tokuyami.
Tokuyami.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Yami. Okay. I don't think Tokuyami even really caught on to that or anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that it really
it was
mattered.
Just like, yeah, I guess so. Just seemed like something that was tacked on in there, like to like, oh, to add more excitement, and it fell flat to me.
Oh. I thought it was meant to sort of, well, yeah, I think it was meant to sort of fall flat, like, this was his plan, was to trick him into thinking something, but he never thought that. So when he reveals, I should stop saying he because now it's confusing, I think. But
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but it's interesting.
When he reveals that, aha, I tricked you into thinking this, but we were never tricked, and he wasn't tricked, I think. So I don't know.
But the show doesn't make a sound that goes, wah, wah.
Well, no, that would be a little over the top, I think. Be a little over the top.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that's a different take than I had. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was intentional. It might not have been. Yeah. It might be just like you're thinking, but I don't know. I sort of felt like maybe it was intentionally set up that way.
That could be, yeah. But, yeah, it's a sprawling shonen, so this episode, I think we're on a similar page. I just didn't, you know, wasn't as bored, maybe. Or is, I don't know.
Yeah, it was fine, but it's, you know, it's not what I watched the show for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the connective tissue. It's just getting us to the next thing.
Mm. I guess.
Yeah. Could be a lame excuse. I don't know.
It doesn't have to be quite as long connected. It doesn't have to last so many episodes to connect. They could just put those episodes back to back, and then they wouldn't have to have all this
connected. Unless there's a point that we're seeing these certain fights and the interactions and of something that's to come.
I don't know. You think there's anything in this that is going to matter in the fight later? Maybe.
I think some of these characters are going to be, I don't know. I don't think everyone featured is going to be like important, but
yeah.
We talked about Shinzo, the brainwashing guy, of course. Yeah. But I think some of the others, perhaps, I mean, maybe if not right away, but I still think a couple of them will be, I don't know. I'm just benefit of the doubt that like, well, this is important, right? This is all supposed to be canon.
Yeah. The writers presumably know what they're doing. They're not just, you know, trying to fill pages to sell more issues.
I'm hoping not. Is that where you're at?
Yeah. I mean, well, but that's the case with, I mean, a lot of shonen anime that have a sort of battle centered thing do this, where they have battles that go on for episodes and episodes and episodes, right? So there must be people that like it. I'm just not one of those people.
Yeah, I mean,
so whether
I still have faith,
whether they're doing it to stretch so that they can, you know, stretch the story out, or whether it's intentional to, you know, give something to those fans who like the battle stuff, I don't know. We'll have to ask our friends of battle anime what they think. Anyway, we should probably move on.
All right.
Unless you have something else to say about that show.
We said it all.
You said it all. No more to say. Copyright strike. No one knows that song, so it's probably fine.
I zoned out for a second, so.
Yeah. It's that Aussie song.
Oh.
Okay. So are you going to talk about Thunderbolt Fantasy, or are we just going to...
Oh, yes. Sorry. That's what's next on the list. Thunderbolt Fantasy. If you were listening last week, I'm in the process of watching the first two seasons again. And I'm kind of taking my sweet time about it. That wasn't my initial intention, but I plan to get to it before the season's out and catch up on this current season. But as of yet, I haven't seen the most recent episode of the new season. But I don't know. I'm kind of withholding my judgment at this point.
So you're going to catch up, basically rewatch everything up till this point, and then catch up and hopefully next week, you think?
Yeah. I mean, let's not put a pin on it, but...
All right. That's why I said hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. We can all hope.
All right, well then I guess we can just move on to Tokyo Revengers episode 3. I think, right? Oh, where'd my page go? Here it is. Yeah, Tokyo Revengers episode 3. That's
I'm watching that as well.
So I think my opinion of this episode that it was worth it to stick around, even though after episode 2 I was on the verge of dropping it. I think this episode started building the redemption, not necessarily the characters or anything, but of the story itself, you know, like it looks like it's going a more interesting way. Like the story is starting to develop little by little.
This is a good episode 3 move to me, I think, like writing wise of like, okay, like this is where we're headed.
Yeah. They definitely sort of brought me back into why I started watching it in the first place. They didn't do any more weird, you know, augmentation to the time travel thing, which is what really bothered me last episode. So, you know, that's good, I guess. Didn't take me out of it further. And it's story-wise is getting more interesting, or seemingly more interesting. Not really exactly sure where it's going, but...
We were introduced to a new character who's very important. He has to prevent this character from meeting another character to form the and a leadership of this, you know, mega gang that's going to form if he doesn't.
Right, which ultimately ends up in resulting in his middle school girlfriend's death in the future.
Yes, his middle school girlfriend who desperately needs a haircut. Those bangs are out of control. Even when you see like a current picture of her, like when she dies, it's a little better, but still, I don't know. I'm the son of a hairdresser, but what can I say?
Yeah, I remember thinking she looked like Some other character that had like that weird, yeah, bangs thing going on.
I'm trying to think.
Remember.
There probably is, yeah. I just can't think of one.
Yeah. I can't think of who it was.
They're nuts, though. They're nuts, man.
Yeah.
It's just her style, though. Okay. I respect it.
Yeah.
She seems cool enough.
They seem
don't
like
know
curled
a lot about
or something.
Her.
Like she does work on them and everything. She just, you know, maybe that was the 90s style in Japan. I don't know.
Yeah.
90s here, you know, your bangs would have been like straight up like peacock butt, basically above your head. But yeah, in Japan, maybe different.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Or she's just a weirdo, but.
Yeah, I guess that's possible too. She doesn't really look like any of the other girls. They definitely have set her apart looks wise. Yeah.
But I like this new character that we're introduced to, Mikey Manjiro Sano.
AKA Mikey.
Mikey, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's, you know, they're kind of going for this, I don't know, we're delving into all that, but like he's, character-wise, he's like this, I don't know, has bad guy tendencies, but also has a good heart. Like they're like, has like morals at least that were like, you know, there's lines.
Yeah.
That, you know, at least in this moment in time.
Right.
Yeah,
he seems like
not
a
crossing.
Seems like a generally likable, nice guy.
Yeah.
Other than being a psychopath underneath that, I suppose.
And it is intriguing of like, how did you get from this to, you know, what you'll become, presumably, because this gang is so horrific and.
Yeah. Well, the answer is he meets up with the other guy.
Yes. Well,
the one that our main character is trying to prevent him from meeting because they're the ones that form this super gang thing.
It's a little convenient.
Yeah.
But that's how this episode ends, I think.
So the episode ends with our main character sort of walking past a group of guys and being like, huh, that guy looks kind of familiar.
Yeah. And it's the guy.
Yeah, and they flash back and forth between the pictures that he saw in the future of the guy and the guy that he just walked past several times to, in case you're unclear, this is the same guy.
Yes.
They definitely drove that home a little bit.
And which is interesting, the pace is like, okay, like things are, you know, coming along.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there wasn't, I mean, so much of the stuff that I objected to in episode two just didn't exist in this episode. So, so it was better on that front as well.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? Because a lot of those things had to do with like setting up the framework of the time travel and how it works.
Right. But, I mean, even in this episode, there could have been a lot of internal monologues from our main character about, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that this happened back then or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although he's starting to diverge from what he would remember anyway, I guess. But there's not so much of that internal monologue that
That's
was
true.
So heavy in the first and second episode.
Even then I speculated that, and I think this now, but you know, it was just like him being disoriented or something, like after have done it and trying to remember like, okay, everything. Which I don't, the younger brother of this girlfriend in the future has him do all this research and stay up all night doing stuff, but we have no idea what he was studying. He just told us these like couple of key things that we the audience know about, so it's like, how much stuff is he actually trying to remember if he had to like do an all-nighter to you know what I mean, like how convoluted is this thing plotted out that like we're not aware of. I may be giving the show too much credit, but this is kind of, I feel like, what they've set up, but I don't know if it can deliver, but I'm curious.
They might reveal things over time about him, like, oh yeah, that's right, I learned this in the future. Which would be somewhat annoying, I guess, but
yeah. Well, depending on how they frame it, right? If it's used as a crutch to be like, oh yeah, like, you know, we didn't, you know, set this up at all, but this is happening now. Or versus like, no, this all makes sense and it escalated to this point, and I don't know. I feel like there's a way to do it right and frame it and pace it correctly.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much faith I have that they will do it.
Yeah. Right. I share that sentiment too. But if I'm going to keep watching, I'm going to keep hoping.
Yeah.
Because we're still pretty early on.
Yeah. I've still got hope as well, but we'll see. It's still sort of on the verge for me, I think, of, it's just barely sort of, you know, moved up a little bit, but it's pretty on the verge of being dropped for me.
Okay. I'm enjoying it thus far. Yeah. I mean, it's not great. I'm not sure this episode... Oh, no, I gave it a 6. But a strong six, I noted.
Yeah, okay.
So that's where I'm at.
This episode is a five.
Okay.
But leaning sort of upwards a little bit.
Strong five.
Compared to last episode, which was like a very low five. This is a high five.
High five.
High five.
Lo-fi, hi-fi. V. V. All right, well, on to the next show.
Yeah.
Shadow's House. Another show that, I don't know, I think last week we were both a little like, eh, where is it going?
Yeah.
So now we got another new episode. What do you think?
I mean, they seem to have pulled back from the symbolism I thought I was, you know, catching whiffs of, if they were trying to make some sort of political commentary or something. It seems to have pulled back from that a little bit. There's still little hints of it, but not nearly as heavy as it was last episode.
I'm still wondering what it's trying to say, if anything.
Yeah, and it seems like it's definitely taking its time doing its world building. Like, it's a pretty relaxed pace. Not really slow, I don't think, but very relaxed. Like, it's not something where you watch the first three episodes and you know what the main story is. It's probably going to be a couple more before we really get into what is this show actually about.
Well, I don't know this episode, cause I've been wondering if like, it's like slice of life and then like this darker sort of, you know, things being revealed, you know, that are more and more dark and like, I don't know, contrasting this entire world that we thought was like, oh, so cute and fun and happy. And this episode, I don't know. I'm like, maybe they're going to commit to that because there was, I don't know if we're getting into spoilers and all that.
Say whatever you want, man.
I don't know. We learn of like this soot that is emitted by these nobles that live in this house that all these dolls are taking care of and cleaning up the soot and doing many other tasks as well. This soot, if left unchecked, will like turn into like this monster, and they're attacked by one in this episode, and it's like this horrific affair. And I don't know. It is kind of freaky too, because the soot like gets on to one of these main doll characters we've been introduced to, and
she gets the soot sickness.
Yes, yeah.
Title of the episode.
Oh, nice. Yes, so pretty apt. Soot sickness. I don't know. So it's kind of interesting. And then she goes back to our main doll, Emilico, goes back to her master, Kate, and is telling her about this. And Kate has no idea about these soot monsters, which she, you know, in turn creates because she's a Shadows family member. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Like, the dolls are told to, like, you know, clean everything and keep up after it while they're simultaneously being attacked by that very thing. So I don't, it's like this, already kind of like this dark cycle of like, no, you better clean this. Otherwise it's, you know,
it's going to be bad for you later.
Yeah. We're not going to handle it.
Right. And there's a little bit more revealed about sort of the family hierarchy and stuff earlier on well, which is, you know, just more, I don't know if it's really backstory, but more world building, you know, story setup sort of stuff. Which is no doubt going to be important later on. More about the debut, which they talked about before.
Yeah.
But just a little bit more, not much.
Yes.
So, they're slowly, you know, building upon these ideas that they've already established and still introducing new stuff as well. So it's relaxed pace. It's not in a hurry.
I mean, yeah, that's for sure. But I kind of feel like I guess Tokyo Revengers is more, things are happening more quickly, but I feel kind of similarly where I'm like, I'm hoping that it has like, you know, everything plotted out, a roadmap, and, you know, I don't know, that's going to deliver, because it's doing this reveal kind of thing, right? Where it's like, it's not just a slice of life show, it's something more.
Right.
And it's kind of what the lead seems to be like to me, but.
Isn't this one of the ones that's 26 episodes, so it's going into next season, I think.
I was not given that information.
Let me double check that. I think it is, but I might be wrong. To file a complaint
at the head office.
All right, where is Shadow's house? My phone is very dim. I need new glasses.
You could have just said, oh, I think that one's going to be a 26 episode one, and yada yada.
Could have.
And I have to cut all this out.
I know, right? So much work for you.
No. Why do you hate me?
It is not. It is not the one I was thinking of.
Okay. So we don't know, or it's just 12?
We don't know. It in looking at it, my notes don't say. That doesn't mean we as a community don't know. It just means that I haven't actually put it in my notes yet if it has been announced how many episodes it is. But as of the time that I made that list a couple weeks ago, we did not know how many episodes it was going to be.
All right. So we'll pick up back with... Yeah, so that's Shadow's house.
That is Shadow's house. I guess next up we've got I've been killing slimes for 300 years and maxed out my level. All right, so in this episode, episode 3, an elf shows up at the door asking for Azusa's help, Azusa being the Witch of the Highlands, our main character. I don't remember the elf's name, but I'm just going to call her Fan Service. I don't think I need to explain why. Anyway, so apparently this elf has angered a demon named Beelzebub by creating and selling an energy drink, which made the demon sick for some reason. So Azusa agrees to help Fan Service with this problem, or at least to protect her. She's not going to fight for her, but she'll protect her from the demon if the demon comes, I guess, is basically what she says. Anyway, long story short, it turns out it was all a misunderstanding. The demon got sick because she had drank these energy drinks, which then allowed her to do a bunch of work, and she sort of overworked herself, and that's why she became sick. And the reason that she was searching for Fan Service Elf was because she wanted more of the energy drink.
You're really selling this.
I know, right? Doesn't it sound great? Anyway, all is forgiven, and Fan Service Elf says she's going to move her energy drink production factory over near the neighboring village so that she can move in with Azusa, Laika, the dragon girl, and the Slime Soul twins.
Just be one big happy family.
Yeah, and Beelzebub also, you know, seems quite enchanted by the Slime twins, and she asks if she can adopt one, which Azusa says no. And
you creep. Yeah,
I'm guessing that we'll probably see more of her as well in the future. But yeah, it's a slice of life. So like that's what happens in the story, but none of that really matters. It's just, you know, an excuse to
sell energy drinks.
Well, I mean, they weren't name brand energy drinks. They were
missed opportunity.
Yeah. It's an excuse to include big breasted elf girls and cute slime girls and overpowered isekai witches. Yeah. It's good. I still like it. It doesn't matter. Okay. I don't care.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, but... I mean, like I say, just sort of describing the story doesn't really sound like anything, but I mean, that's what happens in the show. But
the characters are funny or likable or amusing together. They're dynamic. I don't know.
Yeah, something. I mean, there's like some comedic aspects to it and stuff, and I don't know. Yeah,
I just haven't seen it. So
it's very relaxed, very chill. You know, like that's her whole thing, Azusa, the main girl. Like that's her whole thing is like when she got reincarnated, she said, "I just want to have a relaxing life." Mm. And so now all of these things are kind of coming in and disrupting that, and then she has to sort of settle them down to get back to her relaxing life that she wants to have. So yeah, that's basically it. Right. Elf shows up, causes some problems. Demon shows up, dealt with. We're back to relaxing life, and you know, maybe adding to the family unit a little bit along the way. Yeah,
cool. That should be the name of it, and we're done, or we're back to relaxing life.
Back to relaxing life. Yeah. Yeah, but that pretty much does it for that show.
Which brings us to the special challenge.
Special challenge. All right. So how was episode 3 of Flying Witch?
Yeah, I watched it today. It's good. It's speaking of relaxing. It's it very much does that. It likes to do that. Although they did do some work this episode. Our main character, get to my notes here, and then I'll have the names. But she, for some reason, I still didn't write it down, huh?
Huh.
We said it last week, and then I
Write it down. Thinking that I could remember it, but I can't think of it.
Man, I should know it. But anyway, our titular witch character wants to do farming as part of like her witch duties. Although later in the episode we learn, because her sister shows up, and we learn that like she hasn't really been performing magic at all, and like she needs to do something small too, so she doesn't, you know, have her powers weakened. Mm. I don't know, or you know, when she does the farming, I don't know. Just wanted to farm things maybe, but she gets the cousin, the older cousin, and the younger girl cousin Chinatsu, who's adorable, to help her, and so they're weeding and kind of getting the ground ready, pouring, you know, chemicals and stuff and whatnot. Yeah.
And so when you say farming, you mean gardening, basically.
Yes. That was just the name of the episode, so I guess that's why like a little farming and a little magic.
I see.
But I say farming too because the this house she's staying at, her uncle is a farmer and like has all these, you know, gardens and, you know, he's farming things. Like,
yeah.
And so they let her use a plot of the garden or farming area that used to be the uncle's mother's up until she died, and so it was all overgrown with, you know, no one had used it since she passed. But yeah, because I was confused by that at first, because this was like the introduction to the uncle. I had no idea that he like farm things or had there's like a whole bit about how he has like a difficult to understand like accent dialect, kind of like, you know, more rural kind of thing, I guess. But the other characters and the family don't, or at school or anything. So it's just like, oh, okay, he's just like kind of a working man like type. Yeah. But yeah, and so that was the first half of the episode, and it was nice. I mean, this episode, I wasn't wowed or anything. It was just like, you know, cute and, you know, things I've come to expect. It was enjoyable, but not, you know, exceptionally so. Mm. The second half, her sister shows up, the main character, and she's also a witch.
Yeah.
And she teaches her a spell to get crows together. You're supposed to use, black hair from a human girl. But she asks when she does it, the witch, that, you know, when she like teaches it to her, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna try it. She's like, can I use my own hair? Because she has black hair. And she says yes, but it turns out that's witch's hair, and so it has a much stronger effect. And so all these crows gather, and there's a really cute, you know, shot of a crow on her head. And she's just like, what do I do with these crows? She's like, they'll go away eventually. and then she leaves. That was probably my favorite part, the whole crow thing, even though like I was, you know, I could see it coming, once she, you know, did it. But, yeah, I don't know. It's cute. I'm watching it.
Yeah. It's, you describing this episode reminded me that the episode existed. Like as you were describing it, I'm like, this doesn't sound familiar. But then like little bits and pieces sort of came back.
Okay.
And, it's not a pivotal episode or anything like that.
Mm. Yeah.
But it does set up the sister who will be back.
Okay. Nice. Good to know. I liked her. You know, she was cool.
Yeah.
And they kind of did a recurring kind of, they kind of call back to a gag that they had already done when the spirit of spring or whatever showed up and wearing that, you know, creepy mask. It was like in the second episode, I think.
I think so.
But when he first shows up, he freaks out Chinatsu, the little girl that lives there. And with this episode, the sister just walks up, but she's like been in Africa and like the desert. So she's wearing this whole like like robe thing just around her face, you know, a cover from the sun, you know, like how some do. And so she just looks like kind of scary, just looming over Chinatsu as she's like outside the house and is just like, is she here? And she's like, who? But she doesn't like, you know, she doesn't run inside and slam the door or anything on her. But it's still kind of played for laughs, which is, I don't know, it's fun and cute. Like it's a simple show, but it is successful at, you know, making me smile, I suppose. So there, I admitted it.
Yeah, I think it's a good time. I enjoy it. I really want to watch it again even more now than I did last week.
Nice.
Since I had pretty much forgotten this episode, so
You
I feel
got too
like I
much
need
to
to
watch.
reacquaint myself with it again.
You'll get
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, eventually.
So what did you think of this new show that I'm going to propose in on the spot, hoping that you haven't seen it?
Well, and then why would you be asking what I thought of it?
Well, because I have a lot of faith in you.
You just presume that I actually have, but hope that I haven't.
Yes,
All right.
yeah. It's a lot of mixed emotions.
Yeah. So what show are you picking this week, George?
It's a show, I think the full name is Puella Magi Modica
The Latin name. Yeah.
Magica.
That's Latin, the Puella Magi.
I'll
Or
accept.
I think in English they translate the Latin to Japanese and then the Japanese to English. Although Madoka Magica, I guess, is the same. I don't know. They do some weird thing. I forget what the wait, the Puella Magi is the Japanese title, but the English title is Maho Shoujo Madoka Magica, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that
So they
does sound
translated
right.
the Latin to Japanese for the English title or something. I don't know. It's an odd thing, but no, I haven't seen this, so I'll start watching it now. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, I watched it.
Like that
This
whole
is
sidetracking yourself, just to say that, yes, I have seen
just
it.
as a distraction. Yeah,
It's
this was
something
a
someone would do to stall for time when they hadn't done the homework.
right, exactly.
But you, yeah, we had talked about this because this is brought to us by Gen Urobuchi,
Oh,
who the
yes.
same guy that brought us Thunderbolt Fantasy,
Thunderbolt Fantasy,
the
yeah.
puppet show that I'm gonna get back to everyone on very soon.
Which I haven't seen Thunderbolt Fantasy, so I can't really speak to comparisons between the two, I guess.
That's true.
But yeah, Madoka is a well-known, very popular show from the early 2000s, I think, right?
Yeah, mid, yeah, somewhere in the aughts.
Yeah. And yeah, so you're definitely not the first person to have mentioned the show to me on several occasions where I thought, magical girls? What? Why do you watch a show about magical girls? That sounds awful. But yeah, you've mentioned it enough that I decided to go ahead and watch it. And it starts off kind of like how I was thinking, like magical girls. Yeah. I don't know about this. But I sort of forced myself to keep going. And, you know, even by the second episode, it improved significantly over the first episode is just sort of setting up the whole magic thing, I guess, so that we're aware of it. And then the second episode, it delves more into, I don't know, not really feelings, but like, interpersonal relationships and yeah, feelings, I guess, like how people feel about each other and the world in general and things like that.
Yeah,
And
and
it
the
sort
dark
of,
side of that.
yeah, and it sort of builds from there on top of that. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of like how much I have to say about this without really giving spoilers. Like it definitely takes a darkish turn. Not immediately. It's probably third or fourth episode before it starts really going down
Yeah.
a sort of darker path. And all of that just makes it more and more interesting because you're first thinking like, you know, kitty kitty, magical girl, right?
Yeah.
And it takes a strong turn away from that fairly quickly. And yeah, it has, you know, some more. Yeah, there's a lot more depth to it than you would think based on, you know, magical girl, whatever.
This kind of reminds me, we were just talking about Shadow's House, like what I kind of hope, you know, it's going for. Of like, oh no, you know, like at beginning, in the beginning, it's like, oh, look how cute and fun and happy this adventure is. And then things start to, you know, shift in perspective, like a whole lot over just a few episodes. Yeah. Where it's like, there's something much darker going on here.
And yeah, I mean, by the end of this, because I believe I watched the whole thing, right? Unlike the other shows that you, first the one with 900 and some episodes, and then one with 100 and something episodes.
Something like that. Yeah, this one
is complete in 13, I believe, right?
Which is nice.
Yeah.
You don't always get that with the anime.
Yeah, it's nice to have that, you know, completion. And I'm sure that there's like OVAs and maybe some side stories and stuff.
There's movies, and yeah, I think they're still coming out with movies.
But this, like, as a standalone by itself is complete. And it's very nice. And as we get towards the end of that, it just becomes more and more interesting, the sort of plot curves that they throw in. I don't want to spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. It is not, you know, super cutesy Kira Kira magical girl nonsense that you might think it is, like I did. It is, I guess it reminds me a little bit more of sort of like Suzumiya Haruhi. That sort of vein of shows. So if
the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Yeah, that's the one that I was trying to say. it reminds me of that. Like it's got this sort of cute gloss on the front, and then that fades pretty quickly into this sort of dark and serious undertones, you know? And it's really good. I really like it. All the characters were very well fleshed out and well-developed characters with their own unique needs that are, you know, fairly obvious, but sometimes surprising, I guess. It's great. Really good writing, good character writing, good story structure. This is a great show. I think I might have given this an 8.
Excellent. Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good one. I do recommend, and I think you would also recommend it.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you recommended it to me, so I would hope you would recommend it to our listeners as well.
I thought you'd hate it. I'm really shocked. I'm kidding. I'm so glad you, because I think that's what I think that first episode or two or whatever, you know, that transition is so beautiful, because it's not at all what it appears to be, but yet it knows exactly where it wants to take you, and it ends in those 12 or 13 episodes, whatever it is.
Right.
And that so rarely happens in anime, where even if it is only, the show is only that long, rarely are anime endings, you know, something to speak of. I can just think of so many examples where like they just peter out or crash and burn or like don't deliver. So it's nice to have a succinct story, short, in good hands.
Well, Flying Witch is only 13 episodes, I believe. So
that's true. That's true.
You're in good hands there too, I think.
I'm guessing there's a bit more writing in something like Madoka Magica, but
there's a bit more story, I suppose.
Yeah. but you know, they're different shows, but yes, I'm enjoying that one.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, Flying Witch, definitely more character writing. Not that Madoka doesn't have that, like the character writing is very good as well, but there's definitely a lot more story, whereas Flying Witch sort of ignores the concept of story and just focuses on writing really good characters with depth and emotions that you can sort of feel.
I feel real.
Yeah. And Madoka does a lot of that too, I suppose.
They're hard to compare. And I mean, I haven't seen all of Flying Witch. Just up and watched three, you know, the beginning of three shows anyway. First, I don't know, season or core, whatever you want to call it. Needs a name.
Yeah, the first, I would say season, because, you know, generally they come out one every week, and a season is about 13 weeks,
I think. That's true. So, yeah.
Season makes sense. You can call it a core if you want, but a core to me is more like the story arc. And in a lot of cases, the arc doesn't resolve within that 13.
For sure.
There's a lot of shows. I was going to try and name some, but yeah, whatever. You know them. You've seen them.
Well, cool. I'm so glad you liked Monica.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Some people online call it Dokes or Madokes.
All right. I will never call it that.
I don't either, but I just wanted you to know.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'm down with the Dokes. So anyway, that's I think that does it for us this episode. We've gotten through the special challenge. There's nothing on the other side of this sheet of paper, so I think that is it. If you have opinions that differ from ours, if you have opinions that are the same as ours, if you want to share those opinions, if you want to yell at us and tell us that we're stupid and we smell like bacon, you know, feel free to go to whatever social media site we are on, which is pretty much all of them, at Unlike Anime, UmlikeAnime. Shout at us. Yeah, whatever you want to do. Just put words, type words into your computer at us.
Whisper it out.
Yeah, it would be great. We'd appreciate it. Anyway, I have been Tony, and this has been my friend, whose name I forget. What is it?
Jorge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Gracias, Jorge. Gracias.
Gracias, Tony. Adios.
Adios. The horse is riding off into the sunset.
And we're back, and there's a bunch of anime. We watched them, and we had thoughts, but we're going to hold them this week, and so we'll see you next week. Thank you. This has been George and Tony. I'm Like Anime.